Guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Soccer is back on ESPN+, Serie A, FA Cup, MLS, and more. Plus, get original series, exclusive studio shows, and the complete 30 for 30 library. Stream soccer from the best leagues and tournaments all around the world, all in HD on your favorite devices. The beautiful game lives on ESPN+. Sign up today at ESPNplus.com or in the ESPN app. Time now, Katie George, for a SportsCenter update.
Well, Jen, 15 women who previously worked for Washington's NFL organization have alleged sexual harassment and verbal abuse by former scouts and members of owner Daniel Snyder's inner circle. WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert said Atlanta Dream co-owner Kelly Loeffler, a U.S. senator from Georgia, won't be pushed into selling her interest in the team, but that the league is aware of other potential owners for the franchise. Say hello to Casper, the sleep company with outrageously comfortable products such as award-winning mattresses, pillows, and bedding. Go to Casper.com now. Casper has everything to build a dream bed for you. That's Casper.com. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
We're listening to Shipping Up to Boston because we've been talking about hype songs for arenas and stadiums. Chris saying that this song makes him think of The Departed every time. I'm with you, Chris. Makes me think of Leo. Makes me think of it was Scorsese, right, who did The Departed? He's nodding to me with the authority.
Thank you. Phenomenal song.
We also have been talking about fruit and its alternative names. Katie was kind enough during the break to hand out our fruit assignments as we learned that avocado is also known as an alligator pear. Katie, do you want to real quick run through what everybody got?
Yeah, and I'd like to also say that I was fought on a lot of these choices. I was just divvying them up, and some people wanted to switch and make trades, and that's not allowed, okay? Chris, you got red grapes. Roy, coconut. Tony, kiwi. Jen, pineapple. I, myself, banana. Billy, watermelon. So when we, you know, get to another segment, we need new names for these fruits that we're going to go by, like the alligator pear.
No tradesies. I am guilty of complaining about what I originally got, and as the driver of the show today, I took pineapple. That's just how it happens sometimes. Yep. But I would. It's one of those do as I say, not as I do, because I told all y'all, you get what you get, and you don't get upset, which is what we tell our kids now when they get mad because they didn't get the fruit snacks pack that had Elsa. It only had Olaf. But I digress. One of the big stories that people have been talking about over the last 72 hours was the story that the Washington Post dropped on the rampant culture of sexual harassment within the Washington football franchise. We are joined now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line by Will Hobson, one of the authors of that piece in the Washington Post. Thanks for joining us today, Will.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
I'd like to know how this got started. How did you first find out about what was happening within the Washington football franchise front office?
It was about 2 years ago. The New York Times did an expose about how the Skins sales execs had been selling access to cheerleaders as part of their like suite packages. And we were approached by a few women who said, you know, it's bigger than just the cheerleaders. It's the whole front office. And every woman who goes through that organization deals with this stuff. So for about 3 months, 2 summers ago, Liz and I reached out to a bunch of former employees, and we heard a good portion of what's in today's story, but we just couldn't get anyone on the record, and we couldn't get anything in the way of documentation. So we dropped it, and then a few weeks ago, some of these women reached back out, and one of them had changed her mind and gone on the record, and a few others had text messages and other documents that put us in a much better position of being able to get a story out.
Well, when you're talking to all these women, what was the biggest thing that surprised you after going through all your findings time and time again?
The brazenness of a lot of this. That's what struck some of the women, particularly the two journalists that we quoted who were harassed by the former director of Pope Personnel. Some of this stuff was going on behind closed doors and then private messages and texts and stuff, but a lot of it was just in, like, plain view of other team employees, other league employees, other journalists. Like, these guys, they just apparently they had no shame about what they were doing, and they didn't really fear anything in the way of punitive measures if this stuff was ever exposed.
It's interesting because that type of behavior often needs an environment where it can thrive, right? Sometimes all it takes is one supervisor to say, we are not doing this. This is not the culture we are creating. There, you know, a penalty or a, some type of punishment when that type of stuff comes to light. How far up does this go?
I mean, I guess it kind of depends on how you ask or what you mean by how far it, I guess. I mean, as we make clear, none of these women accused, you know, Team Utter Dan Snyder of harassing them or acting improperly with women. Where they do blame him for this culture is in the way he treats the handful of executives that he does talk to on a daily basis. You know, they say he belittles them, he humiliates them. It's very much like a high school environment, and that they believe that kind of sets the tone for the broader culture in the front office.
Well, I'm sure your focus obviously was on the piece and getting it out and posted and published. But were you able to see kind of the buildup and everything that was taking place on Twitter of, you know, people, you know, making accusations or alleging what they thought had happened, you know, until we actually had the facts? Because everybody, you know, was waiting for your all's report to come out to see what it entailed. Did you get to see any of that kind of buildup on Twitter, on social media over the last couple of days?
I was aware of it. I mean, candidly, when it started, I kind of enjoyed it and viewed it as a positive because sure. It would just build audience for the story. But right. Particularly yesterday, it got way out of hand. And, you know, a few of these women expressed kind of dismay that the story was met with by some folks of, oh, that's it, because they were expecting us to have, like, Dan Snyder on Jeff Epstein's yacht, like doing lines of coke off strippers. And, you know, we don't have that story, but we do have this story, and they felt it was important.
And that's been our biggest frustration. Will Hobson, who joins us from the Washington Post on the expose on the culture of sexual harassment within the Washington football franchise front office, is that unfortunately, now it has been minimized, right? Because it didn't live up to quote unquote expectations by people who were hypothesizing or trying to guess what this bombshell could be. The league has released a statement and said that they, you know, are going to, you know, do a thorough investigation into these allegations. But it's hard to paint with a broad brush, right? We obviously have people who have gone on the record in Washington saying that this culture exists. But as women in the sports field, we know that this type of sexism exists elsewhere. This is going to sound really simple, but what is the easiest way to start curbing this type of behavior? Is it just more accountability within these front offices?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely a start. I think it's that. I think it's hiring more women. I think it's promoting more women to leadership teams. And I mean, these quote unquote locker room mentalities, you know, they tend to develop in places where it's just a bunch of dudes. So I think diversity, is obviously, one important measure. To be clear, I mean, I spoke with some women who said, this stuff goes on across all pro sports. But many of them did say this was a particularly acute issue within the Redskins organization.
What do you make of the HR department or the current state of what is the Redskins HR department?
The club contends that it's better than it used to be. I think it's still staff-based. It's still one employee who, from what I can tell, I'm not trying to disparage her, but she's young I'm not entirely certain whether she has the political capital in the organization to, discipline a senior level executive.
Sure,
but they, for someone. You know, they claim the culture is different, and we'll see.
Will Hobson, you spoke with so many people. I think I read 40 in the article. 15 women who are willing to go on the record. One who was willing to use her name. Where are these women at mentally? It requires an incredible amount of strength to call to task an organization like this, a behemoth, you know, responsible for your financial livelihood. Where are they mentally when you spoke to them?
About the story or just in general?
Do they feel emboldened? I would imagine that some of this rehashing is traumatic to have to relay, but again, you were able to speak to the women. I was just curious, you know, how they were doing.
Right. Yeah, I mean, for a few of them, it was an emotional experience talking about what they went through. But for many of them, I think the process, I hope, but I also do think in the conversations I've had with some of them this morning, it was cathartic because they wanted this behavior exposed. They wanted this stuff out there. The woman who provided us with text messages in which a scout was telling her that they were debating whether or not her breasts had been enhanced and he'd bring her lunch if he let her grab her ass. I talked to her off and on for 2 years. I should say my colleague Liz and I have talked to her off and on for 2 years, and she only in the last 3 days agreed to give us those text messages. And she texted me this morning. She couldn't be happier with the story.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. What was it like for you? I mean, you worked on this for 2 years. What did you learn just in general as a male journalist covering a story like this?
What did I learn? I learned, I mean, just as a reporter, the value of not assuming somebody won't talk to you and not assuming somebody won't talk to you on the record. Nora Princiati and Rhiannon Walker, the two female journalists who spoke in the story, I called Rhiannon completely expecting, I'll only talk on background. And she said, oh no, I'm on the record and I'm going to connect you with Nora and she's going to talk on the record too. Wow. So, and then obviously, I figured this type of culture existed, but I wasn't aware of the extent of it.
Will Hobson of the Washington Post, the co-author of the bombshell report that came out yesterday from Dream Job to Nightmare, which detailed more than a dozen women who alleged sexual harassment and verbal abuse by former team employees at the Washington Football Franchise Facility. Will, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Will.
No problem.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection for more than vehicles, with insurance expertise to keep your company moving forward. More at progressivecommercial.com. It's time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Katie, before our last segment, handed out the assignments for renaming various fruit. Katie George, Jen Latta filling in for Dan and Stu Gatz here on the Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio. This was prompted by the idea that avocado was once known as the alligator pear, which, if I'm being honest, Katie, I feel like we should be bringing back. Like, I would love to be walking down the aisle of my Sendix, which is the local store here in my state, and see alligator pear.
99 cents.
I wish I could get avocados for 99 cents. It's more like $2.50 for an avocado. It's like one of the most overpriced. Oh, I just got a lot of looks from the Zoom people. Avocados are super overpriced. I don't live in California.
Is this why in Kentucky they're always brown when I cut them open? Because they're 99 cents.
You went to the
bargain. Now I'm questioning everything about these
alligator pears. The bargain bin alligator pear. So recap for everybody the assignments you gave out when it comes to our fruit.
Okay, yes. Yeah. So Chris, obviously beautiful Chris, he sends me some SportsCenter updates that are random to throw in and mix in with our serious SportsCenters. Because, of course, this is the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz, so obviously. Early 1900s, avocados were referred to as alligator pear. So I said, what would be a good name for other fruits? And so we decided we were going to do this experiment in the break. Everybody got a fruit and they were supposed to come up with a new name and we're going to vote on it. And that means, of course, if we're voting on something, it's going to be voted on by the Twitters out there.
Put it on
Twitter,
the poll.
The Twitter poll at Le Batard Show is brought to you by 303 Touchless Sealant for the ultimate protection and shine in no time. So Chris, you were given red grapes. Red was important because green grapes could have been something totally different. Roy, a coconut. Tony, you were given kiwi. You jumped at that one, so I feel like there's a story behind that. Jen, pineapple. I took a banana. And Billy, you got watermelon. So, Jen, how do you want to do this? Who should go first?
Chris should go first. Chris, let's do the order that you just did there. Chris, with your red grapes, what is your alternate name, your pseudonym, for the red grape?
Okay, I'm playing this game very literally.
Oh,
okay,
here we
the
go.
Avocado was called the alligator pear, an animal that might be similar to like the skin or how you, if you were touching an alligator, that's what you would feel if you were touching an avocado, and then it's followed by another fruit name. So if you give me red grapes, I am going with snake blueberries.
What the hell?
It's a smooth exterior. No,
I disagree. I think grapes have a nice little rough, like if you ever held a grape and just rubbed your finger against
smooth.
It very gently.
There's not
no,
scales.
It's, not it's got a little bit of like almost like a what
okay.
a snake might
wait,
be
no,
like.
You're wrong.
Wait
what kind of grapes are you eating? Are you eating? He's definitely eating the bargain bin grapes like Katie gets her avocados.
I'm going to go get a grape.
Did you say snake blueberries? Is that what he said? Okay, he walked away cuz he's actually
yeah, that's what he said. Yeah.
Okay, snake blueberries.
Stupid answer.
He could have done like liquid raisin or something. Like, I feel like that would have made more. Okay. Moving on. That one's going to be, we can only vote for four that can go to the Twitter poll brought to you by 303 Touchless Sealant. I'm going to say that it's probably a shoe and that one's going to be, crossed off the list. Roy. Oh, wait, you're back from the grape excursion.
Yeah. If you guys see here, I know that this is bad for radio, but I'm holding a grape up. I'm telling you,
green.
I feel like I'm touching like a coral snake right now. Is this a coral snake that I'm fitting? Nope. It's a grape. That's crazy.
Y'all remember when you were kids? Totally. Remember when you were kids and you'd go to like a made up haunted house and somebody would have a bowl and you would stick your hand in it and it was supposed to be eyeballs and it was always unpeeled grapes? It's because they're smooth. Yeah. Like eyeballs.
Eyeball blueberries.
No, you went with snake blueberries. That's your final answer.
How about baby water balloons?
So good.
I like that. What about liquid raisins? Or is that too literal?
Hydrated raisin.
Do you just see on the spot, we came up with three better names than what you had a whole commercial break to come up with?
That's debatable.
Roy, coconut. What you got, my man?
Yeah, I'm sticking with husk fruit. I think that's the best name for a coconut because of the husk exterior on it. So husk fruit is what I'm going with.
Husk fruit. That's still better than Chris's.
We're letting that's better than mine. Now we're just seeing
it. It absolutely is better than yours, Chris.
This is just picking on Chris. It's the theme of the show. Chris is the idiot. I get it, even though I clearly had a great suggestion.
Tony, no, you didn't.
Tony, you had kiwi. What did you come up with?
The kiwi is a green fuzzy football.
Can we just say fuzzy football?
Green fuzzy
football. It has to be green because the inside of a kiwi is green.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't want any changes. He's not adapting. Okay. Green fuzzy football.
Okay.
Okay. Got it. All right. It's locked in. Gin. Pineapple.
Yeah. So the pineapple to me is a spiky thigh. You know, like when you go 6 or 7 days without shaving your legs.
Oh, fair. See, now it depends on your leg hair. Because I think that sometimes my leg hair feels
Roy,
like a kiwi.
No? You like that one, Roy?
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, mine, yeah, that's a good one. I like that.
He's like, I'm not touching that. Okay, so what? Spiky thigh is the spiky thigh. Okay, interesting.
It looks like a thigh, right? Like a pineapple. It's got that like.
Could you have done like spiky glute? Because pineapples are kind of round.
No, because my glute's more like a peach.
Well, you're one of the lucky ones. Okay, moving on. Banana. I had banana. What do we think? Drum roll. Yellow canoe. Whoa, Roy. Oh, you were in the drum roll.
That was a drum roll.
Oh, I thought you were hating on it.
That's yellow like canoe. A motorboat to me. That's to go along with our yellow canoe. That was a motorboat.
Well, look, to be fair, banana could have been taken in a lot of ways. I like my job. I know what the show is about. And so a t-shirt was made for me based on my last appearance on this show with some explicits on there from, what were we talking about?
Jealous? Right?
Yeah, exactly. So yellow canoe, I thought was the safe lane. Okay, Billy. You got watermelon.
I do have watermelon. So my history in naming fruit so far has been I named a lemon, a yellow orange, a lime, a green orange. I was really tempted to name a watermelon a giant green orange, but I think the name I want to go with is round green tiger fruit.
I like it.
I like it.
Well, I don't know if round is necessary. That's the thing is I'm trying to figure out if the descriptor of round or giant was necessary. Because if I could just go green tiger fruit.
I think that's
good.
Well,
you got to keep in mind, a watermelon is not necessarily round. So,
yeah, that's true.
I like the tiger fruit element of it, though. Like, and I take these things very literally, but yes, I feel like the outside of a watermelon resembles a tiger's hide.
I was between tiger fruit and zebra fruit, but I think tiger fruit.
I like tiger fruit. And I
is
think
there actually a tiger fruit, just out of curiosity? Is that like a real thing?
I don't know.
Because that would get confusing at your local grocery store.
It would be. I think there's a dragon fruit or something. So good thing you didn't pick that. Okay, so here we go. We've got snake blueberries, husk fruit, green fuzzy football, spiky thigh, a yellow canoe, and round giant green tiger fruit. Or have you made changes to that? Is it just green tiger fruit at this point?
Yeah, okay, I think just green tiger fruit.
Okay, we've got to cut two. Two are not going to make the final Twitter poll, obviously brought to you by 303 Touch of Sealant. So who's getting axed?
Snake blueberry definitely makes it. What else?
Get the hell out of here, man.
I think snake blueberry has to make it just so people can see like how crazy you are and how stupid of a choice that was.
And you can get 0%.
Exactly. Yeah, so, okay. Love
maybe
that.
maybe we don't have to eliminate anybody. Maybe we do like a play-in. We do a play-in game, like two play-in games. Figure
Ooh.
Out who.
I don't hate this idea. I want to dive into it more, like the play-in tournament that we might see down in the NBA bubble. Okay, so again, Chris has said red grapes are equivalent to snake blueberries. Roy has said a coconut is husk fruit. Tony said kiwi is green fuzzy football. Jen's pineapple is now called spiky thighs. The banana should now be called yellow canoe. And Billy's watermelon should be called the green tiger fruit.
I think we need to have a play-in. This is just too complicated to leave some people out. We got to have this play-in game. We got to figure out who is eliminated early on. And we have to do that after the break. That has been Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. More of our creative fruit pseudonyms after this on the Dan Le Batard Show. Guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. I consider myself a guest on this show, Jen Latta, alongside Katie George. People have been telling me on Twitter that we need to say our names more often, so I'm going to go a little Destiny's Child here, and it's Jen Latta and Katie George. Katie, you got a Sports Center update for us.
That I do. Real Madrid clinched a record-extending 34th La Liga title with one game to spare by beating Villarreal 2-1. WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert said Atlanta Dream co-owner Kelly Loeffler, a U.S. senator from Georgia, won't be pushed into selling her interest in the team, but that the league is aware of other potential owners for the franchise. These days, it's good to be prepared, and that includes your vehicle. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment needed, and also curbside pickup on any order. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See store for details. And finally, Mike Tyson will fight a shark as part of Shark Week 2020. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
I'm sure PETA will love that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be on top of that one for sure.
But I will watch, so there's also that.
No judgment. No judgment. We have been giving our pseudonyms for fruit. We will get to that in just a moment. But first, we are joined now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line by Emily Kaplan, our ESPN NHL reporter, to talk a little hockey for us. Emily, first and foremost, we need to get a ruling on the fruit names. Katie George has been handling this. She is the commissioner of the pseudonym Fruit League. And we would like to know what you think. We are trying to figure out if we need to eliminate two of these. So which are the weakest terms as far as the ones that we have here? Katie?
Yeah, we want you to tell us which one you would totally take off the list, okay? So red grapes should now be called snake blueberries. Coconuts should now be called husk fruit. Kiwi, green fuzzy football. Pineapples, spiky thighs. Bananas, yellow canoe. And watermelon, green tiger fruit. Which one, Emily, did you absolutely hate? And you're like, nope, has no place among the rest.
It was absolutely the red grape one. You can't describe something as snake. Why would you want to eat it?
Chris, did you hear Emily?
No, yep, he's sliding out of the Zoom window. Now he's throwing a temper tantrum.
Okay, Emily, that's good to know. I appreciate that. That's very helpful. This is the information we needed.
Emily Kaplan is handling our coverage of the NHL, which gets started theoretically within the next couple of weeks. Emily, although there's been a little bit of an update to one of the facilities that the NHL was planning on using for the upcoming restart, what is the latest on that?
Jen, this is just so hilarious to me because it really proves that 2020 is indeed cursed. But the NHL went through this entire process. It is the worst year. They went through this entire process of figuring out which two cities they were going to go to, and they finally determined that they would pick two in Canada because it is the safest. They had the virus under control. They picked Edmonton, this four-year-old, brand-new, state-of-the-art arena. Most players say it's one of the best in the league, if not the best, and Toronto. And last night, there was an incredible storm in Edmonton that rolled through, and there has been water damage, and there is some flooding in the entryway, and they're assessing the damage today, and they don't think this will affect their possibility that they can start exhibition games on July 28th or games on August 1st. But it's just the biggest eye roll, and it's hilarious. And maybe God doesn't want this hockey season to get going either.
Well, hopefully they're able to take care of that. So where are we now? Have guys reported back to training camps within their own cities before leaving? Or what's the setup for them actually getting to Edmonton and Toronto to resume play?
So, Katie, what's going on right now is the 24 teams that are playing this summer are all in training camps in their playing cities. Now, that's a little bit controversial because some of those cities are seeing big coronavirus spikes right now, like sure. Dallas, like in Arizona, in Vegas. But the players wanted this. They said they didn't want to be away from their families for that long, so they want to have training camps in their home cities. So the league is a little bit fragile right now because they're not in a bubble environment. But all the guys are supposed to travel to these two hub cities on July 26th. I mentioned exhibition games will begin 2 days later. And if all goes according to plan and, you know, that water damage isn't too bad, we'll get meaningful games on August 1st.
Emily Kaplan joining us here on the Pennzoil Performance Line. Emily, we have talked about the protocol that some of these other sports have had to adhere to as they try to be as safe as possible with the restarts. Is there been anything that has stood out to you about the way that hockey is handling it, something that maybe not a lot of people are aware of?
You know, I think it's just what I mentioned is the fact that they are playing their training camps right now in, you know, each individual city at a time when it's really tenuous too, and there's no bubble environment. So guys right now are able to go to the rink for practice, but they theoretically can also go to the grocery store or restaurants or bars, or their wives can have playdates with their kids and you don't quite know who they're interacting with. So unlike a lot of the other leagues that hosted their training camp in the bubble, like we're seeing in the NBA, this was definitely a choice by the NHL, and it's really fragile right now for the league.
So when we look at other leagues, right, a lot was made of the relationship Adam Silver had with the players in the NBA and his relationship with Chris Paul, who's president of the NBPA. And then you look at the relationship or deteriorating relationship between Rob Manfred and MLB players and what transpired between those two entities. What can you say about the relationship you see between Gary Bettman, the NHL, and actual players within the league?
Katie, it's so wild because it's really good right now. And people in hockey like aren't used to that. We don't expect it. Gary Bettman is a commissioner that had work stoppages three times already in his tenure. But not only did they agree to a return to play format, but both sides also agreed to a CBA extension for four more years. And in that extension, players got a huge win for them because they got in writing that if they can figure out an agreement with the IOC and IIHF, they can return to the Olympics, which is something players feel so passionately about. They love representing their country. So the fact that Gary Bettman could go from a guy that was on the verge of locking them out a fourth time to now creating labor peace, sending the players back to the Olympics, and hopefully awarding a Stanley Cup this summer, like, things are pretty good between both sides.
Emily, earlier this week, the qualifying round games were announced. What was your reaction to that information?
Honestly, the most exciting thing about it is just the times and the schedule that we're going to see. It's going to be like March Madness. There are three games a day in each of the hub cities, and they're staggered a little bit, especially with the two-hour time zone. So we could be having 15-plus hours of hockey straight, and I think that's the most exciting thing for a consumer, anyone like me, that has been cooped up in a small area for the last 5 months with nothing to watch all day.
Emily Kaplan, ESPN NHL reporter, joining us here on the Dan Le Batard Show to break down the hockey season, which is supposed to get going, barring any other major storms to affect the arenas within the next couple of weeks. Thank you, Emily.
Thanks, Emily.
Thanks, Lee. Have a good one.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. 30 for 30 Podcasts, in association with ESPNW, presented its latest season, Heavy Metals, inside the Caroli Gymnastics Empire. The seven-part series tells the story of Bella and Marta Caroli, the coaches who brought women's gymnastics in the United States to absolute dominance on the world stage and also enabled its greatest tragedy. Listen now to all seven episodes of Heavy Metals inside the Caroli Gymnastics Empire on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Jen Latta, Katie George holding it down for Dan and Stu Gotts, who are on vacation. That Heavy Metals podcast is pretty awesome. It's pretty badass. They did an incredible job with it. So shout out to the, I think it was Bonnie Ford and Alice, Alyssa Roenick were the two women who put it together. So if you haven't gotten a chance to listen to it, guys, I highly recommend it. Katie, you mentioned that there was an update from the Washington football franchise. What do you got?
Well, Daniel Snyder has now put out an official statement, and this is what he had to say. The behavior described in yesterday's Washington Post article has no place in our franchise or society. This story has strengthened my commitment to setting a new culture and standard for our team, a process that began with hiring of Coach Rivera earlier this year. Beth Wilkinson and her firm are empowered to do a full, unbiased investigation and make any and all requests recommendations. Upon completion of her work, we will institute new policies and procedures and strengthen our human resources infrastructure to not only avoid these issues in the future, but most importantly, create a team culture that is respectful and inclusive of all. I also think it's important to note that there was a typo. And you know, Jen, that they sat and looked at this for hours and made sure they thought that this was appropriate and covered them in all bases. And there was still a typo.
Oh, that's so metaphorical, isn't it? Right? That so many people could be involved and that there would still be this error. Like there's been this error in judgment in the way that things have been handled, even though so many people were aware of it and so many people allowed it to happen. It's interesting because earlier today I would have said, where is Dan Snyder? Where is he? Why haven't we heard from him? Mm-hmm. Right? The NFL put out a statement, the article dropped, and you knew the article was dropping. Don't tell me you didn't know the content of the article. Like, you know the issues you have, right? It's like if I have a home inspection coming in, I have an inspector coming in to give us an appraisal on our house, I know where the leaky roof is. I guess I'm hoping that they don't notice where the leaky roof is, right, for the appraisal, sure. But I know where it is. So like if he then all of a sudden uncovers the leaky roof, I've already got a story for it. I've already got my response to it. How they didn't have a statement ready to go when the Washington Post dropped that article last night is crazy to me. But now Dan Snyder is making a statement. So we can't say, oh, he's using, you know, Jay Gruden in the past, Bruce Allen in the past, now Ron Rivera as a human shield. Now he's making this statement. I'm not one of these people who wants to give too much credit to the Washington football franchise because they done screwed up so many times leading up to this, right? They haven't really earned the benefit of the doubt yet, but I feel like it's a good step. It's a good start to get your name out there, to get your face out there and say, here's where I stand on this. We're going to try to make this better. It's a page out of the Mark Cuban book, which is what we talked about before. How can we let Mark Cuban off the hook and hold Dan Snyder's feet to the fire? More on the Dan Le Batard Show with Jen Latta and Katie George after this.